little tiny bit of it.
You get a leg. Or
no, I mean,
a squirming finger. No, I mean, or like, a frontal lobe.
No, I mean, like, what if you would dump it into the bowl to do the mix? And, you know, because it's, you know, all those things. You always get, like, a little bit of powder still in the package, yeah. Or a little bit gets carried away in the wind, or, you know, like, whatever, you know. So what happens?
The wind in your kitchen.
Yeah. Or, you know, for most of us who have the...
outdoor.
Well, no, the GE Windomatic.
What, well, also what happens if, you know, you mistake what kind of dish it is. You think it is some instant potatoes you're making. You decide to, you know, spice up the dish by adding some garlic in there or some carrots, you know. And the
garlic you get in Italian, I believe, right? Or what, Matt, you can talk about this.
Yeah. Or what if you mix flakes from one packet into another packet?
What if you try to make double batches? Do you get a Siamese
it's not
twin?
A free sign. You ever seen John Carpenter's The Thing?
Blah, 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 blah. That'd be awesome.
So I guess for now, you know.
There's some problems.
Population is probably the best method.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll keep on with that.
Doing it is the old standard that will continue to prevail.
And it's good cardiovascular exercise, kids. It is. Don't let your parents tell you any different. Start now. Start young. Start early.
People think running is necessary. Weightlifting?
No. These are the kind of things that you want to practice before you get too old.
Right.
You know, you wanna...
So that's why recently I've switched over to a strict all doing it diet and a regime.
Mm-hmm.
All doing it all the time.
Seriously. I try to do it for at least 18 out of the, 20 hours that I'm awake.
You only sleep 4 hours a night?
Well, that's also part of the regime.
You're finding, like, your energy is increased mm-hmm. and you're...
Mm-hmm. So you only sleep 4 hours, you got to make the most out of your days.
Also, copulation is no longer a pleasureful experience.
No.
Rather a screamingly painful one.
If you've ever been to a factory that maybe makes bottle caps or something, and you watch the machines making these bottle caps... Mm-hmm. The kind of emotion that you might suspect the machines feel is similar to the emotion you feel on the strict all-doing it regime.
After 18 hours of doing it, you're really just longing for, like, a behind the music.
Something.
Or, you know, anything to just end the monotony mm-hmm. of doing it.
But then, man, you know, you're fit and trim. You've got an 8-pack, you know? Mm-hmm. You've got two abdominal muscles that just came out of nowhere. So... There are benefits.
That's nice.
I've been wondering lately.
Pectorals that can cut glass.
Ooh. Been wondering, and I assume that this study has been done, because there are enough scientists out there doing completely useless things that somebody has to have come onto this. Exactly, like, how many calories moping burns?
Moping?
Yeah, just, you know, moping or sulking, you know? I mean, they have to burn some calories. They're a basic life activity. And, wondering how much that takes.
Because you're on the all-moping diet.
Yes, I am on the all-moping diet, and I'm wondering when it's going to start showing some results.
Well, I think the sarcasm part is where most of the calories are shed.
And where most of your unsaturated fats are burnt up is within the sarcasm.
And, you know, if you throw in a healthy dose of bitter resentment,
yeah,
that just makes it pounds fly right here.
And that's also more for the toning.
Yeah,
really works toning those and
the
glutes.
Strengthening. Right.
Yeah. The glutes get a big workout there.
Yeah,
with the bitter resentment.
Well, because that's where bitter resentment comes from, directly from the glutes.
The glutes.
Glutes.
Sometimes I just like to be quiet and look around. You guys.
I remember
take it all in.
I had to take one written test over the course of my entire high school career in gym class. Took gym for 2 years. 2 years, you know, 2 semesters each year. And one semester, I don't know, they must have got some new PE director or something who was on this new, you know, teach them stuff program. And we actually had to sit down and take a test. There was like a week-long unit where the coach talked to us about muscles and, you know, all that sort of thing. And then we had to sit down and take the test on the muscles. And I scored like a 48 on the test. I was one of the high scorers. Everyone else was, you know, scoring in the 40s or something.
Out of how many?
Out of 100. And that was just dealt with, you know. This was gym class. You really just couldn't take seriously the notion of consequences for that sort of thing. And I felt okay.
I hear that. Gym class was pretty much like a waking nightmare for me.
Yeah, it really was. Many young men coming up behind me with spray deodorant. I remember hitting people with gym locks. And it didn't do anything. Didn't phase anybody.
No.
I remember being at once elated and horribly upset with myself when the severely mentally disadvantaged student the one mentally disadvantaged student in our school, got transferred into my gym class.
Tangent.
Because I knew that my beatings were now going to be transferred to him.
Tangent one, you may have noticed the long, long pauses Eric paused before saying mentally disadvantaged. top five things that went through his head first before he came out with the safe and friendly mentally disadvantaged.
Oh, tarted isn't really socially acceptable these days.
Bare-ass stupid. He was only bare-ass part of the time, so I guess that's really not a fair label.
Huh, while we... did nickname him Drooly, but I don't know if that's a pertinent fact.
Mongoloid? People might get that confused with Mongol.
Cheese. God, I could go for some cheese. Oh, wait, I'm on the air, and I'm talking.
And tangent one.
That was exactly it. I was talking, and I went, because I had this, they have new versions of Kraft Deluxe macaroni and cheese. They have like new flavors.
The premiums,
like they did. Yeah, the big time. No, I mean like
99 centers.
No.
The top shelf.
That's the blue box.
Creme de la creme. The top.
No, I'm talking about the deluxe, like the already made sauce.
Okay.
They have like, they have light. Then they have
It's the beautiful jerking motion that accompanied that. And then, people just miss out on so much here.
Yeah.
And then
I realize how visual
there,
radio
there
is.
Was there's four cheese.
Four cheese. Wow. But the blue box only has three cheeses.
Right, right.
They found a fourth cheese.
Well, I mean, it took... Because it's more of a gelatinous form for the sauce than a powder form. And as we know, you can only do so much with powder. But I got sharp cheddar.
Good stuff.
Tasted almost exactly, but not entirely, like regular plain old Kraft Deluxe macaroni and cheese. Slightly thicker. Maybe so when I was eating it, I was like getting that.
Maybe your palate isn't sophisticated enough to appreciate the subtle differences in flavor, texture, and aroma. Damn it. Bouquet was what I was looking for.
Nose. It's got a fruity nose.
Yeah. You're supposed to swish it around your mouth and spit it back in the pot.
I'm actually supposed to swallow it.
No.
You fool.
Don't. You're going to wine tasting. Don't swallow.
See, that's why I was, you know.
But back to getting a little retarded kid beaten. Just kidding. I just wanted to show that I can be politically incorrect with the best of them. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going
to
say, when you're in the grocery store, ramen looks like a great idea. When I was there the other day, it was 12 for a dollar.
Wow.
12 of them.
12 packets of ramen. $1. One night only.
So you get them back to your place, though. You know, whoever gets in this total hardcore mood for ramen...
Well, it's really tough because you look at them in the store. And it's like, oh, there's a meal. There's like 12 meals right there. You get back to him at home. He started trying to integrate them in your life, and it's like, all right,
what else do I have?
Yeah, is it not going to be a problem if I have horrid indigestion for the next 2 hours?
See, I'm fine with them except I've got to eat two at a time.
Yeah,
like just one of them's like.
Well, see, you're not putting
like
in
your
cup
girlfriend
of
in the
there.
First couple. No, I'm not. But you know. One of them is just like your girlfriend in the first 3 weeks of the relationship, you know. It's good, but it ain't all that.
But it's ancestor run low.
Yeah, so you need two of them.
Yeah,
and then after a while,
that's like having two girlfriends.
Exactly. Who like each other?
Who like each other?
And
will
get
lot.
In the pot with each other.
And have no problem sharing with each other.
Audio footnote: the first ever link in the history of humankind that has been made between ramen and Mormons. And audio footnote.
But I'm a big fan of the Ram.
the Ram Daddy King.
The Ram Ducks. But yeah, you know, you
the Rama Sutra.
There's
that is an amazing book.
Honey,
noodles.
Honey, have we tried the creamy chicken flavor? Get a basket and some candles. We're gonna try that tonight. So But what I think they do something on the signs for those things, because it's like you're there, and all of a sudden, eating ramen, like it's 12 for a dollar, and something shuts off in your brain, and then eat like the idea of eating ramen every day, three times a day for the rest of your life, because you can actually do that math.
Yeah.
Like, that's enough ramen to last me till I'm middle-aged!
Well, I liken it to the scene in Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure, you know? When he's
Which
saving,
scene?
Well, you know, the one, the one long scene that is that movie.
Yeah, there aren't any cuts, are there?
Yeah. Maybe. No, the scene where he's saving all the animals from the pet shop, you know? And he keeps running for, by the snake thing because he's so scared of him. That's me when I open the cabinet and see ramen. Like, I keep putting it off to the very, very end with this, like, loathing dread in my eyes. And it taunts me, you know? They're just like, I'm here to be eaten. I'm eating. Eat me. I'm all you have left. There is no milk. There is no fresh food. But I keep, you know, putting it off and eating everything else possible.
You're eating, like, floor tile.
But eventually I have to eat it.
So. Well, I like, in... And I know you're a big fan of this, but it's like that one time you decided to buy Oriental flavor, like, you know, like, or like, and you're like, yeah, I'll try that sometime. And so, like, that's like, it's like a Thursday night, nobody's in town, you've got no money left, and you're just, you spend 3 hours standing in your kitchen just staring at the empty cupboard with this, like, perfectly framed, like, package of Oriental flavored ramen.
The light hits it in a certain way.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, God. Is this what my life has come to?
I've lived that life. And I've also lived a very interesting dilemma that strikes vegetarians when it comes to ramen. You know, because you've really... There's also the mushroom-flavored ramen that most places don't stock that. So generally, all you have, if you're a vegetarian, is the Oriental ramen. And not that the flavor makes an immense amount of difference when you're coming to ramen. I mean, it's salt. But, you know, sometimes you do want some variants. And so
tomato,
you sit
man?
There. Tomato's gross. Tomato is hideous stuff. And you sit there and you wonder, was any chicken really involved in this process at any point? Even though the package says chicken, where's the chicken?
It says cooked dehydrated chicken is like the 18th or 19th ingredient in the sauce packet, which means they passed, like they held.
They met a chicken.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a chicken. Okay.
Oh, man.
We're so funny that we just talk ourselves speechless.
I've burnt out a funny capacitor.
Star.
I've blown my funny capacitors.
Yeah, all over my Docker shirt.
Things that you buy in bulk on that topic. Actually, I had a kind of morbid moment yesterday. I was getting out my stapler because I needed to staple some pages together. And, you know, I use a reasonable amount of staplers. You know, I'll staple things. You know, I don't use paper clips that often. I'm a staple person. Because, you know, when I want something put together, it's together forever. And I looked at my stapler and all the, you know, the big pile of staples that I had next to it. I'd paid like $3 for this immense box of staples. And I looked at it and I realized, you know, even though I use a fair amount of staples, if I hang on to this box of staples and it doesn't get lost, this really is going to last me till I'm about 60.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a scary, scary moment.
Scary thought, because you could picture yourself alone, sitting in the dark in
just
an apartment.
Stapling.
Yeah, with that same box of staples in your hand, in your leather, tired, wrinkled.
Yeah.
Trying to finally finish the box off.
I looked around at my apartment. I looked at, you know, my food. That's going to be gone in a few weeks. I looked at my cats. You know, they got about a decade to go, and the staplers are going out last hour.
They're like cockroaches, man. Hey, yeah. Which brings me to my next thing. Did you guys know that cockroaches can live on soap and glue?
No.
They can eat it, I mean, and survive. And then, not only that, but they can go a month without eating at all.
Cool.
Those guys, they're resourceful little...
Well, they are the next human race.
They are. They're just building... They're building
as soon as they get, like, you know, a
cities.
Reason to be pissed and a little more aggressive instincts...
It's some teeth.
It's over for us.
There was a... My friend's house had a cockroach the size of my shoe. Never seen a cockroach. Like, I was going to the bathroom, and I heard rustling in the tub because the shower curtain's on the inside, like, you know, on the inside, and it's too big. So I actually heard rustling. I thought the cat was in there. I opened it up. The cat wouldn't come in the room. The cockroach was so big that the cat was like, uh-uh. Cats are natural hunters. And this cockroach had it scared.
See, it was eating soap.
And so I took that mother out. I went and got the Sunday paper, rolled it up into a crude blunt instrument, and it took a couple good whacks to get that thing stunned enough to grab it by the tail. And
that's like a close range weapon. I'm surprised you went into the trenches.
Well, I actually had to grab it. I couldn't kill it. Like no amount of blunt trauma was going to kill that puppy. So I had to like. You know, do the old. You break out a new roll of toilet paper, and then you just transfer it from the. You transfer the entire roll from the cardboard piece of paper to your hand.
That's a risky maneuver.
So you've got like you know, this 8-foot thick glove, and then you just grab it, and you hope that you've got enough articulation to hold on to it from the, like so as you make the twist from the tub to the toilet, so you don't either drop it, like, okay, horrible, most horrible thing would be, like, drop it down your pants, or, like,
scuttle up your
on your shirt, like, yeah, or, like, it'll, yeah, exactly, or that you throw it against the wall, and then you've pissed it off, and now it's loose, you know, but, managed to get it in the toilet. Three flushes. That guy was holding on.
Really?
Yeah. He had made himself a little lifeline. He's holding on. No, I mean,
shake
that guy.
Shake his feelers, say, I will return, anything like that?
No, but he was big. Then a couple, then
well,
somewhere.
He's like, oh, darn, back to the sewer. What am I going to do?
Well, no, they will drown. That's one of the few things.
Really?
Like a vampire. Water is running water. They can't cross it. But then a couple days later at somebody else's house, I was using the toilet again. I don't know, maybe I'm just like some kind of bad omen that generates, you know, spontaneously generates cockroaches. But they have a kid. This friend of mine has a kiddie pan next to his toilet. So I'm sitting there reading.
The kiddie pan?
And I'm sitting on the toilet reading, you know, whatever, some reading material. And I hear some rustling in the kiddie pan. And I look down, and for about 15 seconds, I thought one of the poops was alive. It's like, oh my lord, moving poop. But it was just a cockroach in the kitty litter. And that stuff's toxic. I mean, like, kitty litter?
Yeah.
That's bad stuff. That's bad, nasty stuff. And this cockroach is like, rubbing it under his pits, eating it, putting it in a bag.
I don't have to eat for another month.
You know?
I just ate poison.
Building little delicious. Building little castles.
Ooh, is that a heel? Oh, I don't know.
So, yeah. I love cockroaches.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I hate them. I hate cockroaches more than anything in the entire world.
Me too.
Oh, God, they're so disgusting and gross and sleek and slithery and
shiny.
You smack them, and they don't. It doesn't even faze them. You, like, hit them, and they're still moving.
Well, because I got shocks under the shells. It's like, burr. It's like a lowrider.
I actually saw a couple of cockroaches with hydraulics in their shells.
And
so they'd be running their shells and just be going up and down. They
had
boom and bass in their butts. So it's like, oh, boom, boom,
that's what I like to see.
Cut to an average household in Champaign. Let's switch to the oldie station. They've been talking about cockroaches for a half an hour now. Play some oldies.
Okay.
Thanks.
Here's your tomato ramen.
Cut back.
So is tomato ramen really that horrible?
I liked it.
You're terrible.
You freaking jerk.
Yeah.
Well, what is it? Is it just like tomato soup, or?
Kind of. It's got tomato-y, like, watered-down spaghetti sauce.
It's made of, like, globs.
Oh, are there really, like, reconstituted globs in the sauce?
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about. He's a maniac.
Well, he does eat mushroom-flavored ramen.
See?
There should be a law against that.
My point exactly. Hey, who's bringing us milkshakes tonight?
Yeah, somebody please.
I want a lime freeze from a Steak and Shake.
113 North Market Street in Champaign, just around the corner from the old Amtrak station and the new Amtrak station is the
it's a little hard. It's a little hard to find. You got to dig.
You know where Mike and Molly's is? We're like two doors south, north.
Yeah, we don't very much like milkshakes tonight.
So search around, look inside until you see a light on. And
we'll leave a light on for you.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear the latest development in the Boat Boy saga?
No, well, he's gone, isn't he?
Boat Boy's in Washington. Boat Boy's with his dad. He's not in Cuba yet.
Are you sure?
If he is, I missed it, because I think he is. He's back in his dad's custody.
I think he's back. Yeah, I think he's back in Cuba as of today.
Oh.
I think. Because I thought I heard that today. I saw all the riots, all the crazy riots, and, like, the feds broke in and, like, pulled their guns on him and on his, like, cousin and stuff.
Crazy on him.
Well, I guess, like, the relatives down there, like, the feds kept, you know, telling them, give him over, and they wouldn't. They kept changing.
I don't know what they thought would happen. Like, so, you know, like, people think the family say, like, think if they said no enough times that federal agents be like, okay, you win. You know, like,
no, we got other stuff to do.
They're inviting, you know, the 40 federal agents to come in with machine guns. Like, what do you think is going to happen? You're messing with the government, you know? Like, just seemed like, no, no, damn it, they've got us over a barrel. They keep saying no.
General, I don't know what to do.
Why don't we go in there?
None of our tactical handbooks.
47 machine guns.
No, none of our tactical handbooks.
Right.
We don't have any contingency plans for the no defense. Usually they either shoot at us or they do what we say.
So, I mean, I don't know. They pushed it to that, I think. Well, I think they made it traumatic.
I just hope that all the little, I hope the kids know that the boat boy is not someone to be emulated, you know?
No, absolutely
not. Don't put yourself on the rubber raft and send yourself to, like, Britain. Because they have bad teeth there.
Yes. Yes.
They eat rocks.
There were a group of beautiful young British ladies came into my place of employment this week. British people say yogurt instead of yogurt. They say yogurt. I'm not sure if they're British. Actually, they might. No, they were British. These girls were British. Although there was an Australian girl that came in. She was gorgeous. And she said yogurt. And then there was two Scottish girls. And they said yogurt.
Hmm.
But yogurt.
But nobody really deals with the H in the word. That still really never gets any press.
There's no H in frozen yogurt.
Oh, okay.
It's just G-U-R-T. They've taken the hurt out, the H. Yogurt.
Kind of dumbed it down, yeah.
Yeah, well, they don't want anybody to have to deal with that silent H thing.
Well, right. It's like spelling donut with an H, like a G-H. Nobody really negotiates that either.
I used to think it was donut.
Donut.
Like they followed Doe on his ship.
Yes.
Like they traveled with Jason on the Doe. Mm-hmm. They were donuts.
That is the makings of a really terrible Saturday Night Live sketch.
The donuts.
Keep it up. We got the whole thing written on
us. And then that little monkey-looking guy. What's his name? The guy who does the goat boy thing. Really untalented.
Jim Brewer.
Is that who it is?
He does the goat boy.
Okay, yeah, whatever. Well, none of them are talented. But hopefully they'd all stab that Will Ferrell guy, and then he'd die, and then they'd stab each other, and they'd all die.
I love Will Ferrell.
How could you love Will Ferrell?
I just think he's hilarious. Have you ever seen him do Neil Diamond?
I don't know. Celebrity impersonations make me itch.
He's got a really great couple skits, though. Anyway, we're not going to get into a battle here.
SNL, crap.
Oh, you're bitter because you're not on it.
No, I'm not. I'm not on it. You know, here's a good question. This is a new sub-segment that we'll be calling Get to Know What Jail Is Like. Today on Get to Know What Jail Is Like, we'll ask the crew,
hey,
would you accept the chance to be a part of the Saturday Night Live cast?
Yes, because I am unemployed, and I don't think it would necessarily ruin my career forever. But I would be able to eat things other than ramen.
Yeah. Hell yeah, I would, of course.
Yeah.
Of course I would, man. Chance to be on TV and be funny. And regardless of whether the show is good or not now, you know, what you think, you know, like, being part of a really long tradition of, you know, famous comedy show that a lot of greats have gone through, so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't hang around forever, you know, that's for sure, but I'd rock it out. Maybe you'd do some, positive changes around there.
Oh, sure. If not, say ass a lot on national TV.
Seriously.
I mean, well, even if it's on a bad show, I'd like saying ass on the air.
Newsflash. That was a long-time listener, first-time caller. No, not first-time caller. Miss Katie Weiss from Urbana just called to say that Mark is right. Elian is not in Cuba. He's currently at an Air Force base. There'll be a custody hearing on May 15th.
Okay. So anyone who's looking for the boat boy?
You know where to send all your... send all your love letters, your fan letters. You know, send those to Air Force Base, Washington D.C.
You should stuff the boat boy in like a suitcase and have it be one of those heist movies.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So, did you guys answer the question? Would you be on SNL?
Yeah, I said yeah.
Yeah, we're both fairly pro. I would like some money. I am unemployed. I would like to eat food other than ramen. I would like to say ass on national TV. That's the basic summary of my ideas.
What about you?
I would say no.
Just don't. Who do you think you are?
I really don't.
Like, right now, it really depends.
That's ridiculous. With the current cast, I'd say no, because that would wreck your career. You could do is Lorne Michaels movies for.
You have to. You sign.
That's
in
it.
Blood.
That's, well, who's going to work with you?
If you're talented, that's not the case, man.
But I mean, no, we're talking about like, at this point, it's like if you're on the show, you're not talented. Like that's you're shuffled.
So
up
you're saying
like
if you're on the show, then
right
you'd automatically not be talented.
Well, you'll maybe be viewed as untalented.
Well, but if you are...
It's the low point of comedy at this point. If they had a huge overhaul in cast members, like, even if they were unknowns, I were part of that, then yes. But where I offered a part with the current line of Saturday Night Live, no.
All right, man. I almost wish you got the call tomorrow. So it'd be put up or shut up.
And I'll show you put up. I'll put up. I'm a stubborn bastard. It doesn't matter what I said.
I'm like, Eric. Yeah, I'll go. Yeah, absolutely.
No, I don't
want the silky one, not the crappy one
on TV.
No, I don't want to be on that show. I'm being honest.
All right, let's
like I sees them.
Let's go off to a musical break so we can fight in the studio.
Okay.
The phone number is 359-9338. What are we doing after this break?
Well, I still love how we go through the procedure of asking that question.
Yeah.
It's charming.
Well, you know, the illusion of democracy.
Yeah. Well, why don't we give advice one more try this week?
Okay.
See if we get anybody calling in. And then you know.
The phone number is 359-9338 to pose your quandaries to posable quandaries. Quandaries with a swivel action kung fu grip, or just normal quandaries.
Snap-on accessories available.
Anything that's on your mind that you want us to solve, and believe me, we can solve. The phone number is 359-9338. So give us a call and ask us. Oh, I turned off the CD player. Yeah, I'd like to deliver a diatribe against this brand new CD player that we've got here. One of the two. It's got some of the most asinine features that I've ever seen on a CD player ever. For example, you pick a track. You know, in this case, I'm going to pick track 6.
7.
And
6.
Yeah, 6 is correct?
Well, it was 7. It really doesn't matter. We're all good.
And if you press pause, sometimes it'll decide, oh, wait, maybe he changed his mind. Pause only lasts a couple seconds on this thing, which is what just happened. Well, what track do you want?
Well, you know, 7 is great.
Okay.
It's just a little longer, so.
Track 7 is what I want to play here. It's got a little light down at the bottom that tells you what the next track is. The next track after 7 is next 8. Oh, okay. So that's what I can expect to follow on from 7 is 8? That's not at all useful to me in my life.
Oh, yeah, it was 6. 7's good. Play 7. It's a good length.
What do you want?
7. Aaron? I want 7.
All right.
It's awesome.
It's also, most CD players have the feature where you can change it to be counting down instead of counting up. It's very useful to DJs because that lets you know how much time you have before you have to go back on the air. This one, you have to change it every time to say it. It won't remember that. You have to change it every time.
That's really ridiculous.
The CD player figures, oh, he might have changed his mind after this song.
Seems like a step backwards in technology, if you ask me.
Yeah. It toasts bread, too. And that's not useful to me in my life.
No, and you get bread on your CDs.
Yeah. It's a real pain in the ass.
It's the same input.
All right, here's the music, 359-9338, to pose your quandaries.